This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you very much. It's time for more of the Food Show. We had an extremely busy first hour today, which I always love, and went through a million topics, or it seemed like it anyhow. And now we're ready for you. One good thing. It's not my favorite thing, even so, about the news breaks that we've given here, aside from giving you the info of what's going on in the world, is that we stop everything we're doing in terms of calls, and then we start over again. Well, we're starting over again right now, so if you were to call right now, you would get right in, and we'd love to hear from you. We're always open to anything on your mind whatsoever, so I'm not going to add this right away, but now it's time. I always feel like I have to throw some sort of topic out there for people to chew on. And the one I had today, with this, we've gotten a number of responses to this. Neighborhoods. You probably, if you've lived most of your life in New Orleans, you probably recall the different neighborhoods that you lived in, unless you were lucky enough to put your whole life into one neighborhood, and that was it. I've lived in a bunch of them. And which of the neighborhoods that you've lived in have the best food? Now, they might not have it right there in the middle of that part of the city, but it might not be too far away, you know, like a five-minute walk or a 10-minute drive or whatever. So came up with a few of these, and we've gotten a number of answers on it, too. So the first one I give you is the French Quarter. I lived in the French Quarter for about 3.5 years back in the 70s. And believe me, if you live in the French Quarter, you will be in restaurants all the time and spend all your money, unless you get used to it and know what you're doing. So, but that was almost certainly the most interesting part of the city that I've ever lived in. And then Mid-City comes up pretty much next, mainly because I lived in three different places in Mid-City when I was in my young teens. Over towards the end of Bienville Street and in Mid-City itself, one of the greatest things around was Mandina's, which is still there and still a great place that has a lot of Italian food. If you want to call it an Italian restaurant, you can get away with that. It's certainly qualifies. But they also are really good with seafood, and they are good with a lot of things, particularly daily specials. I've always thought that Mandina's was really strong on that. So that would be near the top of my list. So now I ask you, what neighborhoods have you lived in that you remember as having really great food? Maybe it was just your mother or you yourself doing some cooking for the first time in your lives. And maybe that's what you remember. But we'd love to hear from you about any of that. And if you have something that is completely unrelated to this, you just want to try to work up a recipe for something or give me a report on a restaurant you've been to lately, please do. We love hearing calls of all those kinds. Here, our number is 260-1870, 260-1870, and call right now and you'll get right in. It'll be easy enough. Right now, coming to you from the cool radio, and what do we call this again? The Cool Water Ranch. There we are. I made it up and I forgot what it was. Anyhow, we are here at the Coolwater Ranch, where there is an immense thunderstorm coming through, huge booms of lightning and thunder, and pretty good rain coming down, too. I hope you listened to the report we just had a few minutes ago about that. It's raining real hard right now. I would stay in your car and put off where you need to go a little while just to be on the safe side, but then again, my wife tells me I spend too much time on the safe side. 260 1-870 is our number, 260-1870. You know, just with the little while we've spent on this, there were several people who talked about restaurants that they or places to live that had restaurants that are a little bit obscure. Now, like on Jefferson Highway, there was a time when they were riddled with restaurants. I mean, quite a few of them. I used to live not far from there, and I can tell you. And then going back the other way, heading back into town, you get into Uptown. Another big story. And let's see, Mike is joining us over here on the orange phone. Mike, welcome. Come on in.
Hey, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a cooking question for you. So I make this I call it slow cooked short ribs. So basically, sear them in a pan, put them in a pretty big kind of pot, but a roasting pan, and then add red wine and some beef stock, and just kind of cook that down real low heat for a couple hours. And it comes out really good. The short ribs are really tender and delicious. The only thing is, I would like the jus to be a little thicker, but I don't want to change the flavor of it all. What would you recommend I do to kind of thicken that up? Do you use cornstarch or anything?
First of all, we have to recognize that what the procedure that you've already given us here, that you've got it nailed. That's the technique. You got it. So I wouldn't do a whole lot more with it. You might do a little bit of roux and a little bit of some of the juices from the pan, and just to get it a little thicker and give you. But I wouldn't put a lot. And you know, also kitchen witch. What do they call that stuff? It makes the sauces a little browner. But I think I wouldn't mess with your recipe too much. It sounds like that's exactly how I would do short ribs, like you described.
It's delicious. It's delicious. I don't want gravy. I just like it to be a little thicker, so it kind of coats.
Yeah, well, just put it in a skillet over a low heat, and just keep stirring it, and it'll definitely thicken up. There's no question about it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Let me know how it came out, all right? Thank you. It's the Food Show. And coming up over here on the orange phone is Riley. Riley, you there?
Hello?
Hi, come on in. Have a seat. You're on the blue phone.
This is Larry.
I know. Come on in.
Hey, I'm driving from Gulfport to Baton Rouge, and I had just turned your show on when y'all were talking about who had the best hamburger in New Orleans, and I missed who y'all said had it.
It's the place we were referring to is called The Grill. That's it. That's their whole name, THEGRILLE. And it's on Veterans Highway, just off of Causeway Boulevard, and it's in that new supermarket over there. Trader Joe's is the name of it.
Okay.
And it's just right next door. It'll if you've never been to this new place, the Grill, it's a lot like the Camellia Grill. If you've ever been to the Camellia Grill uptown, you will remember there's a lot of similarity there.
Okay.
But
awesome.
Their hamburger is killer. It's just fantastic.
And I'm a hamburger freak, so I'm gonna come back through New Orleans on my way back here in a few hours, and I'm gonna go hit it.
Well, but I am not a hamburger freak, and I still love it. So I think if you are really into it, I think you'll get a nice charge out of this.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I love listening to your show. I listen to you every Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. It's the Food Show, and I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's fun to be here and all that stuff. And joining us over here on the green phone is Doug. Doug?
Oh, hello, Tom.
Hi there.
Yeah, my wife and I, we like to eat at the Bon Ton. The crab meat au gratin is there, but we discovered something over there. My wife cooks it all the time now. It's a creamed cream cauliflower. Very, very simple to cook, and it's absolutely delicious. So some of your customers out there listening, you know, might enjoy trying that at home. It's very, very easy. My wife now, she adds that to our Thanksgiving dinner as well. And by the end of the day, it's all gone. It's absolutely incredibly delicious. If you've never tried it, Tom.
That's one of our, if you find the Thanksgiving section of my website, that is a must-have dish for Thanksgiving. My wife is crazy about it, and she does it, and it comes out wonderful. It really is. You just have to get a kind of a completely cooked aspect to it, because if it gets crunchy, that blows the whole thing. Then you ought to do a salad with it. But
you got to have it soft.
Yeah.
You got to have it soft and creamy, and that's the reason we call it the cream cauliflower. Yeah, it's a fabulous dish. Good, great, great side dish. In fact, I could eat it as a main dish. But really, really good. So maybe some of you listeners can pick up on that and give it a try at home.
Yeah. Well, we're still a ways before we get to the feasting season, but that is a dish that has found a spot at our Thanksgiving dinner every year for quite a while. But thank you for bringing it up. It is good to eat all the time. That's one of the best vegetables you can eat in terms of its healthiness for you. So
yeah, she cooks it with everything. I mean, we eat it with any kind of dish. It's wonderful. So anyway, okay.
Well thanks for sharing that with us. See you around. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and joining us over here on the purple phone is Dwayne. Dwayne, welcome.
How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. What about you? Is it raining where you are?
No, I just got out of it. I'm on my way to La Rose, Louisiana, and I just got out of it. I was in Houma, and it was really pouring down in Houma, but it's sunshining down here in Lafourche Parish right now for the time being. But I wanted to call and help the gentleman out with short ribs. He said to make the sauce a little thicker.
Yeah. What you got?
A trick I come up with many, many years ago, and you can use this with about anything.
All right.
If you want to thicken a sauce real quick and not take away from the flavor, instant cream potatoes.
Oh, there's a – wait, did you say instant cream potatoes?
Instant cream potatoes. Just take like a teaspoon to a tablespoon to whatever size dish you got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't add a whole lot of calories. You add a little bit of carbos to it. And dissolve it in the sauce, and it will thicken it up, and it will improve it. I've used it for years and years, and it does work. You know,
well,
I mean, you gotta, add a little bit at a time to get the consistency you want. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, I do. But I'm trying to get my head around how you do this. This is, if I remember right, this is a product that comes in a little box, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I always keep some. You know. And,
yeah.
You know,
now, what do you do with? All right, you open the box, and then inside they have this kind of flaky stuff.
Right. Correct.
Okay. So far, so good. And then what do you do?
Just take a small amount and add it to your salt, to whatever you're cooking to get the consistency you want. You don't pour the whole box in. I mean, just.
Oh
like,
no, I didn't. Maybe. I didn't think so. But what are you talking about? About a tablespoon or two?
Yeah, a tablespoon or maybe a little less. Some people like a thick sauce. Some people like a thin sauce. Just add a little cream potato, instant cream potatoes to it, and you would be surprised how good it comes out.
Well, I might be, but it sounds good in any case, and I will file that in the back of my brain, and when Thanksgiving rolls around, or maybe something else, we'll make it. But thank you for that. That's a good one.
Okay, I got one more.
A lot of people.
You.
Oh, okay, go.
Roast beef po' boys in New Orleans.
Yeah.
What is your preference? Would you mind sharing that with us today?
Let's see. I like Johnny's a lot in the quarter. Johnny and Frankie and Johnny's, strangely enough, on Chapultepec and up almost into Audubon Park. I think that's a really great one there. DeMartino's, strangely enough, they're a specialist in muffalettas, but their roast beef poor boy is terrific.
Really?
And I could probably give you a bunch more. I wind up eating more of them on the North Shore because that's where I live. But but there's plenty of them out there. There is no shortage of roast beef poor boys in the world.
I hear you.
Yeah, Paran's poor boys. That's another one.
I've eaten that Paran's and it's really good. And one down in Bucktown, R&O's.
R&O's is very good. That bread that they use, that sesame bread, that adds, I think, a lot to the sandwich.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look, you have a good weekend, all right, buddy?
You too. Thank you very much for calling. It's always great hearing from you. We will return with more of The Food Show. Ed, hang on, will you? Won't be too long. We'll be right back after First Please This. Hello there. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and waiting for us over here on the purple phone is Ed. Ed, welcome.
How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm sitting up here on Tennyson Street, and you were calling. You were asking about neighborhood restaurants that we grew up with.
Yeah. What's some of your favorites?
Well, I grew up in Irish Channel. We had Parasols.
Yeah.
We had Munsters.
Munsters, that's a long time ago, that place.
Yeah. And we had Domalisi's.
And Domalisi's, you know, all poor boy shops, all of those.
Right.
And one of them is still around and the others are gone.
Right. I mean, I grew up there, some of the best food in the world.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I ever went to that first one that you mentioned and just thought it was terrific. Parasols. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it took a long time to get a sandwich over there, but when it came out, it was perfection. It was just what you wanted.
Actually, what I love was that there's fried chicken and potato salad.
Oh, I don't know if I ever had that there, but, you know, there's a lot of food to be covered.
Oh, they have some of the best fried chicken in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling us up with that. I appreciate the time.
No problem.
Yeah. See ya. Bye. It better not be no problem. 260. Let's do a lot. Let me talk to Terry. Terry is calling on the silver phone. Terry, come on.
Hello.
In. Hi.
Hi. How are you? I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that nice?
You're talking about roast beef poor boys. I'm a roast beef poor boy fanatic myself.
Me too. And who isn't in this city?
You're right. There's a little place in Metairie that I absolutely love going. It's called Buddy's. It's off Bonneville and Betts.
I know exactly where it is, but it closed and reopened, and then I don't know if it closed and reopened again, but it seems like every time I go there, it's either one or the other. It was the same guy who ran it for a million years, and then I understand he retired. And then
he retired,
and then they reopened it.
A guy named Tony bought it, and he's had it open for a while, and the roast beefs are just second to none. And another point I'd like to make, you're talking about DeMartino's on the North Shore.
Yeah.
One of the best meals I ever had was a roast beef on their muffalata bread. And
talk about
wonderful. Yeah,
I really
enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on all of that.
I love roast beef.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, it was the thing that got me going on writing about food. Is that when my godfather he was babysitting for me when I was about 9 years old or whatever it was, and he took me to this bar he hung out in, and he said, just don't let anybody see you, sit in the corner, here's something to eat. gave me a poor boy. This was Clarence and Lefty's was the name of the place, and he came back a little while later and he said, what'd you do with that sandwich? I said, I ate it. He said, you ate the whole thing? I said, yeah, give me another one, and I did. Hey, we have to take a break for the news coming up here. We'll be back with more of The Food Show after updating ourselves on what's happening out there. It's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and here we are, plunging ahead, the only program of its kind you'll find anywhere in this city or anywhere else for that matter. I have, calling us in on the orange phone, Kevin. Welcome.
How you doing, Mr. Fitzmaurice? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Doing swell. You can get by with just plain old Tom.
I appreciate that. I do listen to your show, and I wanted to let you know that cooking is my passion. My wife and I, we cater for people a lot with our little business, and we're well known for our crawfish beignets, and we've been doing that for many years now, and it's a big hit on our menu. But what I wanted to talk about, you had a caller earlier about thickening the sauce, the gravy, thickening agents. And something I've learned from Chef Paul Prudhomme, and he's been an inspiration to my culinary field for many years. And a thickening agent that I've learned from him to use is cornstarch. You take cornstarch and you dissolve it in cold water, And when you pour it in your pot to thicken your stew or whatever you're cooking, you pour it in very slow and give it a slow stir. And through the course of time, in about maybe 2 or 3 minutes, it's going to start thickening. At one point, I made a mistake and I put too much, and it was super, super, super thick. So
yeah. You
have to be very careful when you use it. And
You do. This is for those who might never have ever tried this before. You really take it real easy on it. But if you know what the texture of your typical Chinese dish is, you know, it's got that distinctive kind of like almost translucent quality to it. That's what
exactly.
You get by adding a little bit of corn, agar, cornstarch.
Yes, yes. And you have to let it cook down. Because one time I used it, and I didn't let it cook down long enough, and the dish had an actual flour taste to it. And
that can happen.
One of the things that, you know, it just goes to show you, this man, Chef Paul Proudhon, knew what he was talking about, and he had a
really
passion
did.
For cooking.
Yeah,
you could
see,
sure. You know, I watched all his shows, and you can see that he had a passion for cooking.
Yeah, that's true. All of that is true. Well, okay. Thank you very much. No, I was sitting around thinking about cornstarch, but you beat me to it. But that really is a great technique. Thank you. See ya. It's the Food Show, and coming up over here on the blue phone, we have Stephen. Stephen, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Doing swell so far.
Your conversation about Clarence and Lefty's brought back a lot of good memories, and of course they used to make one hell of a potato sandwich with that roast beef gravy.
It was a great place.
Oh, man, look, I used to sit there and eat the roast beef, and I remember at that time we put ketchup on it, and the woman would come by and say, don't forget to put the cap on the top. You know, can you imagine what that pot would be worth today?
Oh, man.
You know
what? I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I think they may actually have that pot over at the SOFAB, the Southern Food and Beverage Museum.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. That was famous. Now, do you remember a place called Sorrows on Almonaster?
Sorrows?
Sorrows Restaurant. It was on Almonaster, right where Franklin and Almonaster was.
No, I know the neighborhood because that's where my uncle lived. But,
that was where my stomping grounds. And, of course, there was a few of those. You know, every neighborhood had a little place where you could go H&H restaurant. It was just these neighborhood joints where you could get something. But the actual purpose of my call is to ask you a question your variety of in your wide array of trips that you've made throughout the country. Is there one specific area that you just couldn't believe how good the oysters were?
Well, I mean, nothing's better than what we have here, and I'm not just waving the flag. I mean, I really find that to be true. And up in the Northeast, you know, all along the Northeast coast, they have exactly the same species of oysters that we have. But the farther north you go, the smaller they get. And I got to tell you, the flavor improves, too. Although I'd rather have our nice big fat oysters, frankly.
Oh, so, I agree. I was in Maine, in actually Boston, and they were smaller. Of course, they came with a hefty price.
Yeah,
but
that's
the salt content was just incredible.
Yeah. We have one of our cruises. In fact, that's exactly where we're going in about a month and a half from now.
And you're going to Bar Harbor as well?
Well, I can't remember which. We always stop somewhere in Maine, and in Bar Harbor is one that we go to, but I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, because there were several cruise ships that were docking in Bar Harbor as well.
Or as they say over there, Bahaba.
Yeah, bye. Well, enjoy your trip, sir.
We will. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure, too. Thank you very much for calling, and it's the food show. And Bernard, hello there. Come on in.
You need to call your show The Good Life.
The Good Life? Sure. Yeah. Well, that certainly describes it all right.
Look, I just picked up speaking of oysters, an oyster po' boy and a meatball po' boy from De Cristina's in Covington.
Oh, great place. Boy, do they feed you there. If you go there, order enough for five people, but just, you know, one order. They really know how to cook. They have a connection with Rocky and Carlos, you know?
Yes. You got to love the St. Bernard Parish. Well, before I go, I want to tell you some big news.
Tell me.
Vera's is coming to Beaver Springs.
Really?
Yeah.
Vera's? In Slidell?
But 66 years, the oldest restaurant on the North Shore.
That probably is true. They do go back to at least the 20s. I mean, the teens. I remember going there.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, you tell me. Yeah.
I was born in 53.
Yeah.
They started Vera's in 52, as my aunt was Vera.
I see. Okay. Well, it'll be great to have them back in that that new location they're talking about, because their food's always been good. I've written articles going back to the 1970s that make that point, or try to.
Now, to give you the history way back, you're right. There was a place called Jake's before then on Rat's Nest Road. The original restaurant, as you know, three restaurants lost in three different hurricanes before they moved to the land. But the original restaurant, Jake's, and this—I hate to say this story, but my cousins love talking about it. But I got a hard time. They used to judge the business by how many buckets of in the bathroom they had left at the end of the night for people drinking.
Oh, brother! Yeah, thanks for sharing that image to us.
Love your show, man, and be looking up at Vera's. They can open up with the old Camellia restaurant.
Yeah, that's another whole story. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much. Nice hearing from you. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Okay, we will return with more in just a moment after first, please. Hi, it's The Food Show. Let me rush on over to the Brown phone, and here is Janet. Janet, welcome.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Enjoy
your show
so much. We look forward to Saturday and Sunday so we can hear you. But
I have a question. Tell me.
I have a question. My daughter comes in town from Florida, Orlando, twice a year, and we always try new restaurants in the French Quarter area where we stay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Broussard's, I have not been there, and I see where they're having a special, and it ends on the 23rd, which is the day her flight comes in. What do you recommend there, and do you recommend?
Well, I do recommend this. Does this have to be lunch or dinner or brunch or anything else like that?
Either. Her flight comes in before noon, so it could be either. It's probably a late lunch, probably.
If you're doing their brunch, that's actually a really great meal for them over there. That's
one
of the best things that they do. So that's one. They also, though, you know, they have the culinary program going on right now. That brings the price for a three-course dinner down to about $35, which is a great deal. And they are big time in that. So, and that is on until August 31st for dinner anytime you want. That if you're interested in Broussard's, I think it's really quite good. The last we were there about a month ago and had a fantastic dinner there. So they're coming along, and that's a good choice. It's not well known, although it's been around forever. They're almost 100 years old now.
Yeah, Antoine's, and we've done many in the quarter, but this was someone we haven't been yet, and we're just trying to get your opinion. So that sounds great.
Yeah, definitely. My opinion is go for it. Yeah.
Good. Great. Thank you, and have a great day. Thank you.
You too. See ya. Bye. Yeah. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our program today is sponsored by Andrea's Restaurant, and there is a book out there, and I don't mention it often enough. It's called La Cucina di Andrea's. La Cucina di Andrea's. I can tell you everything you'd ever want to know about that cookbook because I wrote it. But they're the recipes of Chef Andrea over at Andrea's, and he's very proud of that book too. And I'll tell you this, if you want a perspective on how to cook Italian, not New Orleans style, nobody says that there's anything wrong with New Orleans style or Sicilian style Italian food. We all love that. But up to, in the rest of the country, there is a lot of great food there. And when this book came out, that's what we were looking to do, was to cover all of those kind of dishes too. And it's inexpensive. He'll give you an autographed copy right away. If I'm hanging around, I'll do it too. I am not hanging around much these days, though. So try it out. And while you're there, you may as well have lunch or dinner. They are there for both 7 days a week and brunch on the weekends at Andrea's. They're on right off Lakeside Mall, just on the other side of Lakeside Mall from Causeway Boulevard. And you'll see it. There's this big sign, Andrea's. Since, 56? No, that's impossible. Anyway, he's been there a long time. Let's just let it go with that. 260-1870. And joining us over here on the blue phone is Ann. Ann, welcome to the show. A lot of ladies today. I love it.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My brother and I were talking this morning about a steakhouse.
But what does he know?
I know. I totally agree. About a steakhouse off of Causeway that he said it was a black and white sign and mafioso used to hang out there.
Oh, I think I know the place you're talking about. If it is, they are long gone, like 30 years gone.
Yeah.
And they used to be all Wait, you say it's an insurance company now? Oh, okay.
No, I don't know what it is now. It was a steakhouse, and it was like a late night hangout.
That's before my time, but our producer over here, he knows about it. Can you tell him?
Sure.
No. Anyway.
What it was used to be, like you said, a steak. I don't know if it was it's not the steak knife, but it was called.
No.
It was like not the Beef Baron, but it was that. But it's now it's an insurance company right now near the corner of Causeway and Veterans Highway.
Yeah.
Well, that's as close as we can get. This goes. I've been living on the North Shore for 30 years now, and I remember the place being there, but I never went there.
Maybe
and
the
it's,
Beef Baron? I don't
no,
know.
No, the Beef Baron was on Canal Street.
Canal Street, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, well, if anybody, I'll tell you what, keep listening because somebody might know the exact answer to this, and they're screaming at me right now, but they have to call in first. So we'll keep listening.
Okay, right? Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Here is Billy. Billy, welcome to the food show.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Well, you know, here I am, and we're talking, and everything is well.
I worked at that restaurant. I forgot the name of it. It was Beef Something, but it was owned by the Montalbano family. And surprisingly enough, their original business was the junkyard business out on Shepherd Hill Highway. And at night, they ran that restaurant. It was a very popular restaurant. But the reason I called, you were talking about roast beef sandwiches.
Yeah,
and
we still are.
I go back to Hazel's, you know, which was the best on Carrollton.
On Carrollton, right off Canal, right?
Yeah, it's a Mexican restaurant now. But, I mean, and what you used to get in New Orleans all the time was toasted bread. When you bit into that bread, it was like a guillotine. It jumped off. Nowadays,
all the good places do that.
Look, and Parkway. Dumalicious, they don't toast the bread. You got to fight the sandwich, and you tear your bite off, and half the sandwich is falling out the back.
Well, I always ask them to do it for me. I always ask them to
put
it in.
They don't do it.
Yeah, they do.
Don't do it.
Yeah, they do.
All they do is put the bread on the grill. They do not put the bread in the oven. And I'm telling you, the best place in town is a little place called the Poor Boy King off of Veterans, right on Homestead. It's got three little tables in there. And Nadine is also toasted bread, no. But as far as poor boy places, you know, nobody toasts the bread. Domalisi's doesn't, and I just went to Parkway. I know Jay. They do not toast the bread. They put it on the grill, and it doesn't do the trick. You got to get it crunchy.
don't know.
I'm telling you, Four Bar King, it doesn't do the same to the bread. You get a little toast on the side that's on the bread, on the grill, but you take it off and you make a sandwich, you still got a bread.
I don't know. You know, I hate that effect where the bread is kind of stretchy and it's hard to eat. But I've never had that problem at either of the restaurants that you were just talking about. It's always worked out for me.
Then we must be living in two different time walks.
Well, it could be.
Place.
All right. Well, we'll
just came there, and you got to fight the bread at each place.
Okay. You told us that already. But thanks for bringing it up.
Hey, Tom, are you there?
Yeah.
Just to let you know, I did research it for you. It is the Beef Room. That was what it was called.
The Beef Room is the place. And this
2645 North Causeway. Yep, used to be right there off Veterans.
All right.
It is now Egan Insurance Company.
what are the chances? There you go. Well, all right. So the beef. What did you say again?
Beef Room.
Beef Room. Yeah. You know, I'm going to. You ain't there. No, there's a lot of that going around. All right. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. Our program is sponsored by Paran's Poor Boys. Speaking of, that's a complete coincidence that the direction of our conversation here just merges perfectly with our sponsor. And first of all, let's scratch off Sundays because they're closed on Sunday at Paran's Poor Boys. That's true of all three of their locations, the original in Metairie on Veterans, the recent but very recent place that they opened up in Kenner on West Esplanade, just off of Williams Boulevard. But now they have a third location. It's uptown, where a lot of people have been asking, hey, how come Paran's Poor Boys doesn't open up a location around here so we don't have to go looking for it? It's on Britannia Street now and just off the Upper Line Street. And that's a great part of town for restaurants to be in because there's a cluster of them right there in that intersection. If you haven't been to Paran's Poor Boys, you will learn when you go of the great advantages of making all of the ingredients of the sandwich right there in-house. They roast all the beef themselves. They make the gravy. They make everything else. Paran's Poor Boys, three locations around town. And we'll be back with more of the Food Show after First Please This.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.